Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
What do you do in that moment when all the foundation that you have stood upon and rested your life upon is just shaken and taken out from under you? So for me, that's what led me to seek after the things of God. I mean, I want to go to heaven. I mean, in my mind, I'm like, my hope was that, well, Hunter's going to heaven. I don't know anything about heaven or hell. Or we knew there was this faith thing that could be real, but it wasn't real to us yet until Hunter was dying.
That was a very powerful testimony from a woman who came to faith as a result of a tragedy in her life. The woman's name is Jill Kelly, and her husband Jim Kelly at the time was quarterback for the Buffalo Bills in the National Football League. Today on the Homeward broadcast, you're going to hear part one of my conversation with Jim and Jill Kelly. This is a program that takes on a lot of different aspects. It talks about their spiritual life. It talks about their marriage and how it actually came together and grew even stronger through this tragedy. But our theme today during the next half hour, parenting your kids for the game of life. And we're here in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. If you want to see more for yourself of what APU's undergraduate experience is like, visit apu.edu/blogs and read what real students have to say. And now here's part one of the conversation with Jim and Jill Kelly on Homeward. Well, today on the program, we are joined by Jim Kelly and Jill Kelly. And these are the famous Jim and Jill Kelly, not the people you might search for. And no, that's a whole different conversation. But welcome to the program today.
Thank you.
I'm going to start with Jill, because everyone would say, oh, you're going to talk to Jim Kelly of the Buffalo Bills. Guy's been to 4 Super Bowls. Okay, he's been on ESPN. He's been everywhere. But let's find out what he's really like and ask Jill.
Easy now.
Well, if this will give you any indication, before we were getting ready this morning, he ironed our daughter's clothes.
Wow.
That's so there you
impressive.
Have it.
Very okay. That's,
I think
that's
that is
all
very
we need
impressive.
To know about. Okay, so Jim, it's your turn. What about Jill? Do we need to know?
Takes forever. Get ready. No, I'm kidding. As a matter of fact, I did iron the clothes this morning. But you know, when you have 3 girls and 1 male in a room, and everything's spread out over, and I've been ready for 20 minutes before we're ready to
leave. You're just trying to clean things up.
I'm just trying to hurry everybody up. Here, give me an hour.
I'll do whatever. You two have been partners in marriage and ministry for quite some time, and a lot of people might not realize that. They hear the name Jim Kelly, and they think pro football player. Jill Kelly is his wife, and her job is, and that's a full-time job, isn't it? It's kind of like being a pastor's wife, if you're the wife of a professional athlete. I mean, talk about that, Jill.
Well, I think that, certainly it's something that I've grown to understand as I continue to play that role. Mm-hmm. And the gift that God has given us through our marriage trials and triumphs has taught us well. And we both have, you know, experienced tears and, you know, shouts of joy in the midst of trying to really honor God with our marriage. And that's a learning process. We continue to learn how to do that every single day. Was it difficult, especially during the height of Jim's career? Absolutely. And there were so many things that Jim and I had to walk through, talk through, use a marriage counselor for. Mm-hmm. And we're huge advocates of counseling just for that very reason, that we had to learn how to communicate. But I think that the closer we draw to the heart of God, I mean, we become closer as a couple. And then that just manifests itself in, you know, the lives of our children, and our girls see us and they learn. So, but we are a work in progress, so to speak. God says we are all a work in progress,
yes,
right? And he is not finished with us yet. And thank God he's not, because we have much to learn.
Jim, what was it like the first time you met Jill?
The first time I met her?
Yeah.
Oh,
we have versions of that. You
oh,
know.
Really? Well, that's. I want to hear what he has to say first.
Okay.
I'm sure yours. Well, anyway.
No. As a matter of fact, during my NFL career, I used to have parties after every game in my basement, win or lose. I invited the families over, players and their wives, if they had, you know, their siblings or whoever was at the game, they came over. So I had about 150 people in my basement after every home game, and she came with a friend, and I got to meet her in my home. And from that point on, the story sort of gets a little bit different between the ice throwing and just having fun and, I guess, flirting a little bit. But The bottom line is I met her at my home. And within, I'd say, 3 weeks to a month after that, I finally got that magic date. And the rest is history.
Wow. And he neglected to say the part that I usually share. The night that we did meet, at the end of the party, you know, I went up with my friend and we said, thank you so much. It was great to meet you and all of that. And then he said, well, how do I get a hold of you? And I said, my response was, well, you don't, but it's great to meet you. And then I left. So I did not give him my phone number. Yes.
But then I found out she recently, after a few weeks later, that broke up with her boyfriend. Then it was my chance to send her some flowers and ask her, just give me a chance.
Wow. And of course, he had to find out where I worked. So, I mean, he had to do some homework.
I did my homework.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, okay, the guy did quarterback in the NFL. I think he's capable of doing a little bit of homework.
I had a game plan put together.
Definitely. And I love the fact, too, your book is called The Playbook for Dads, because you think in those terms. And people don't understand. I mean, I remember reading, this is years ago, I grew up an SC fan in Southern California, so I remember when Pat Hayden signed his first pro contract, and we were big Pat Hayden fans in our family. And he was talking about the number of plays he had to learn when he first went to pro camp. And that was the first time, I was probably in high school at the time, and I went, oh my goodness. Because, you know, you think, hey, these guys just go out there and they say, you know, you go down and out and, you know, I'll hand off to you. And you don't realize what a science it is to actually run this. And talk about that. I mean, give us just a glimpse, Jim, of what it's like when you're a pro quarterback to run the offense of a football team like that.
Well, for our team, it was a little different because I had a head coach named Marv Levy who allowed me to call all my own plays.
Wow.
At a fast pace. We ran the no-huddle offense, the K-gun offense. And usually plays are sent in through a microphone that's put in the quarterback's helmets, which they have, and they started getting that about midway through my career. And plays were sent in from the coach to the quarterback, and then he would call the play in the huddle. They'd break the huddle to go to the line, and he'd do his cadence. Well, for us, it was soon as the ball was snapped and the guy was tackled, I automatically was yelling, you know, formation. I was like 8-8-4-4, whatever the case may be, and then I would yell the protection if it was a pass, and then I'd yell the, you know, the play, and then the snap come. And this all was happening within probably 4 to 5 seconds, all this done. And really, my main focus, if the listener out there can visualize this, if you're watching a football game and you see the two-minute drill, or, you know, right before the half when the quarterback's trying to hurry his team on the line. Well, we did that all the for 60 minutes. We did that all the time. And the good thing about it was, for me personally, is I knew where I wanted my wide receivers to be. I knew I liked Andre Reed more in the middle. And I knew I liked James Loft and Don Beebe split out wide. I knew I had a Hall of Famer in a backfield named Thurman Thomas. Yeah. So I knew how to utilize guys. I knew if the defense was a particular defense where I could have a mismatch with Andre or a mismatch with Thurman coming out of backfield, I'd utilize that. Or if they brought in too many defensive backs, I would run the football a little bit more. So I had to do this, but I had a very good tutor in Ted Marchabrota, who was our offense coordinator. But the bottom line was, I had a head coach that had enough faith in his quarterback to allow me to pretty much hand over the reins and say, this is your offense. You screw it up, you're messing with my job too. So don't do that. So, but, you know, 4 Super Bowls in a row we went to, even though we didn't win any of them, the resiliency that our team had, the work ethic that we had, the mental capacity to be able to forget on what happened the year before and work very hard. So it was something I thrived on. I still am a fast-paced guy. My mother always used to tell me, son, you better slow
Jill's
down.
Jill's smiling over there. She says, yeah.
Well, but that's me. I've always been that way. I am one that I can't really sit still a lot. I'm always moving, wanting to do something. I knew there has to be something to be done.
Well, there's a point I don't want to gloss over here, because it's too often. I told some people before coming to the convention, I'm going to be with Jim and Jill Kelly. And the first thing they say is, oh, yeah, the Buffalo Bills lost 4 Super Bowls. And I correct them and say, no, the Buffalo Bills played in 4 Super Bowls.
Exactly.
And I don't, a lot of times in our culture, when Sean Johnson was here in the studio and we had the same conversation, I said, what was it like, you know, when you realized you weren't winning the gold? And she said, well, it means I won the silver. And I think, how did that help you with your marriage, with your parenting, with your children, in terms of saying, hey, you know what? I mean, let's get a little perspective here. I mean, there's some guys who would kill to play in the Super Bowl. You got to play in 4 of them
in a row.
You know what?
In a row.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. The more that we're removed from those games, I think the people that really know sports, I don't care if you're football, basketball, baseball, golf, if you're a competitor, you understand what we accomplished. And if anybody, you know, first thing they bring, oh, well, but you lost. That means, number one, they weren't a fan to begin with. Mm-hmm. Number two is they probably were either a Dolphin or Jets fan.
Now, wait, Dan Marino wrote the opening to
yes,
your,
he did.
Your book.
So, I mean, and he didn't win one either. So that's why. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. But the thing is, to do what we were able to do, and I brought this up before about the mental approach to forgetting things, knowing, and this is part of my book too, because I, you know, one of the things that I try to make sure people understand is things are going to happen in our life, negative things, and sometimes we can control them, sometimes we can't. But the thing is, it's what you do about it. My father always told me, son, things are not always going to go your way. There's going to be a lot of things that don't go the way you want them. He said, but it's what you do about it. It's not the physical part of it, but the mental part of preparing yourself that if it does happen, how do you turn that negative into a positive? And I've always been that way, whether it was interceptions, whether it was trying to rally my team after, you know, a tough loss, or even after Super Bowls. And we were able to do that. And to me, I think it's an accomplishment. It will never happen again. Yeah, of course we would like to won one,
yeah,
but we didn't. And that's part of history, and something I never look back. And yeah, you bummed out about it at times, but I'm still proud of every single person on the team and what we accomplished.
I can tell. And as we were coming up on a break, as we continue, Jim Kelly is with us, a former superstar quarterback with the Buffalo Bills. His wife, Jill, they're both authors. They've been married for quite some time. They have a fabulous testimony to share. And we're going to talk about how your experience on the gridiron, your working together in marriage, has allowed you to overcome something as seemingly trivial to some people as not winning the Super Bowl or dealing with the death of a child. And we're going to talk about Hunter's Hope as we continue here on the program.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot. Throughout Scripture, God calls His people to enjoy the company of fellow believers. And one of the best places to share that fellowship is in your local church congregation. It's important to feel a sense of community in our lives. We all need it, and God wants us to have it. Of course, when it comes to worship styles, one size does not necessarily fit all. If you haven't found a local church that is exactly what you're looking for, don't give up. Find a church that fits you and your family, even if it's a bit of a drive to get there. Remember that no church is perfect, and it will probably take a little time for you to feel a part of what's going on, but it's worth the effort. If you'd like some help in determining which church fellowship is best for your family, go to homeward.com and then go to church and get involved. I'm Jim Burns.
Today on the program, having a delightful conversation with Jim Kelly, Jill Kelly, his wife, and they're both authors. And how long have you guys been married?
Yeah. 16.
Good. And you know, now Jill answered, but Jim was right there with it. And I think that's very, very helpful, guys. I mean, pay attention, because you got to know your anniversary, you got to know your wife's birthday. And so,
kind of like that one anniversary card you gave me and said, it's been a great 8 years, and it was like nine or something like that.
Well, maybe it had been. Eight of them have been great. I have a friend who
right,
used to say
he'd
been married 20 years, and they were 12 of the happiest years of his life.
I was thinking dog years.
Yeah, right.
That'd be 56.
Jill, while Jim is out on the gridiron having success and having, you know, putting together this spectacular career, you met him while he was a professional, and you guys got married. What was it like marrying into the NFL?
Well, you know, it's everything that you imagine it to be. I mean, there's certain things about that lifestyle that are obviously very difficult. The constant bombardment that Jim had upon his life of people always wanting a piece of him, and you know, and then there's me, and then we were, you know, blessed with a child before we were married. Mind you, at that time, Jim and I were not walking in accountability
right.
to God, although we're accountable to God, whether we know it or not. Mm-hmm. But we had already had Aaron, and then we got married a year later. And then I was pregnant. We conceived on our honeymoon with our second child, our son Hunter. So really, there was no time for marriage, mm-hmm. so to speak. I mean, we have yet to have time really for just Jim and Jill time.
Yeah, because you were parents first, and then
yes,
the marriage happened. And
yes.
Then,
so we've learned a lot in a very short amount of time.
Now, tell us about your faith experience, because I know a lot of people are curious to hear that.
Oh, say, yes. Okay,
you know, you're very candid, and thank you for being that, about saying, hey, we were parents, and then we got married, and
yes.
whatever. But where did God fit into the equation?
Well, after Hunter was born, first of all, just the scenario of how God set that all up, allowing Hunter to be born on Jim's birthday, Valentine's Day, and, you know, the excitement and the thrill of Jim having his son finally, wanting this boy to be all that he hoped he would be, and finding out soon after that, when Hunter started to be just to be very sick and very irritable, and then taking him to a neurologist and getting a test result that says that your son has Krebs leukodystrophy and he will not live to see his second birthday. Mm. And, you know, obviously Jim and I dealt with that very differently. We were completely sure. crushed in every way a parent can be and a human being can be. For me, sitting across from the table from the doctor and having that diagnosis told to us, I mean, my immediate reaction in my heart and mind is like, wait a minute, this is Jim Kelly's son. I mean, because, you know, I was turning to the world and the things that I knew of, that here is the celebrity guy. We can go to any doctor all over the world. Yeah. However, there was no cure and no treatment. So what do you do in that moment when everything, all the foundation that you have stood upon and rested your life upon is just shaken and pretty much taken out from under you? So for me, that's what led me to seek after the things of God. I mean, honestly, for very selfish reasons. And I think we all come to God for reasons.
That's legit, though. I mean,
yeah,
this is your
for
kid,
sure.
You know?
I mean, I want to go to heaven. I mean, in my mind, I'm like, my hope was that, well, Hunter's going to heaven. I don't know anything about heaven or hell, or, you know, I don't understand the things of God, his love and his judgment. I don't understand anything about him. We were both raised, you know, Catholic, but yet at the same time, we knew there was this faith thing that mm-hmm. could be real, but it wasn't real to us yet until Hunter was dying. We did not realize that we were dying and separated from God until we realized
that. Who spoke that into your life?
Well, first, it was my Uncle Mark, who is this crazy Jesus freak that would come over in the midst of our heartbreak and just start reading from God's word. He started in the book of Job, of all places, mm-hmm. which happens to be one of my favorite books because of what I learned very early on about God being sovereign mm-hmm. in our heartbreak, because Job went through it.
Yeah.
A lot. So he would just come over and minister to us and just bring joy into our sorrow, really.
When she says us, yeah. That was not me.
No. I was going to say, now, it's common that, you know, mom and dad are going to have completely different reactions. I was
yes.
with Bethany Hamilton's mom not too long ago, and she said, you know, I was in the hospital saying, oh, this is great, my daughter's alive, and my husband was over there saying, hey, God, what is up with this? I mean, you know,
right.
we're Christians. So, Jim, tell us about your experience.
I didn't mean to cut Joe off, because she was doing a pretty good job there. No, mine was totally opposite. I was mad. I was mad at God. I was mad at anybody that even wanted to talk about it. I totally took the different approach. When Jill would have Monday night Bible studies, I'd be downstairs watching Monday night football. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And to make a long story short, because we could be here for about 2 or 3 hours talking about this, because we're so passionate about what we've done and what we've become. For me, it was, you know, doing the things that I needed to do away from the house. We'd have, you know, 4 or 5 people. Our house was a revolving door when Hunter was here. I loved my son to death. But the thing is, it wasn't what I dreamt about having or doing when I retired. Mm-hmm. I thought about relaxing and doing all things that retired people do.
Yeah.
And unfortunately back then it was we had a special little boy named Hunter, and as far as, you know, his diagnosis and the suffering he went through, but what it ultimately brought us to was where we're at today. And for me, more than anything, it was manning up enough to admit my faults, changing my life, going to Jill and admitting all my faults to her, and then pull my daughter aside mm-hmm. and asking my daughter Erin for forgiveness for all the things that Daddy did. And I knew when I saw Jill and how close she was becoming and the things that she was going through and how she was overcoming them because of her faith, I knew I wanted to see my son again. And I knew if I did not change my life, I would never get that opportunity. And also, I wanted to be able to walk through my front door and have my 2 daughters, my daughter Erin and my daughter Cameron, look at their daddy with respect. I was losing everything. I was losing my family. I was losing everything that I worked so very hard for and the values that my mother and father instilled in me. And ultimately, you know, I didn't want this lady to have to go through what she went through before. She deserved a lot better, and I knew that if I wasn't going to change, she was going to, and I was going to have a family anymore. So I decided to become a Christian in 2007, and I just wish I would have done it a lot earlier because the feeling that goes through your body when you decide that your life is going to be changed and you accepted the Lord as your Savior. You know, I've always, and I told this to Jill before, and I tell everybody that I've heard people talk about the word free. I never knew what that meant. I thought it was a word, you know. But when I met with our pastor and sat down with Jill, and I pretty much exposed my whole life and wanting to change, all of a sudden it was, wow. It was a wow factor for me, just like it just was. I mean, I just got chills on my body because I knew it was no longer looking over my shoulder, worrying about what I say, what I would do. I no longer had that. And what a feeling it is. And I just want people out there to understand that, you know, everybody talked about me being, you know, the big, tough football player, quarterback, and got knocked down, got back up. Well, I had five brothers to always make sure I did that because if I did, they'd beat on me. But humble yourself enough to admit your faults. Know what you have to do to change your life. And I'm so thankful I did because I'm 10 times the person I was a long time ago. And I'm a man now that can walk proud with my shoulders back, my head held up high.
Wow, this is a great moment, and I'm just enjoying your enthusiasm and how real this is for you in the midst of a tragedy that would have driven a lot of couples apart. That the divorce rate is so high, you know, when couples go through this, and yet your marriage and your faith is strong as ever. As we continue, we're coming up another break. I mean, I wish we had about 3 hours, you know, to have this conversation because there's so much to talk about. But we want to talk about the fact that you guys have both written books on parenting, on dealing with the tragedy that you dealt with, and yet the inspiration and the hope and encouragement that you're bringing now to thousands of families who are going through this type of situation right now through the Hunter's Hope Foundation. Such an encouraging ministry that outreach has become. And this concludes part one of this just fascinating conversation today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Jim and Jill Kelly with us, Parenting Your Kids for the Game of Life. Jim has written the book called Playbook for Dads. It's just now out. Jill's book will be out in January of 2013. And she's written extensively on this too. And the Hunter's Hope Foundation is something that we are proud to be encouraging you to check out. If you go to our website today at homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com, you find the hot link for today's program and the broadcast schedule. It'll take you right to a link for more about the Hunter's Hope Foundation. You can learn more about Jim Kelly's book, The Playbook for Dads, and the lessons that as he shares. These are things that he would be teaching Hunter right now. And yet Hunter's legacy extends far beyond that of just a boy growing up as the son of famous parents. And so we're grateful to have had this time with Jim and Jill Kelly. On the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast, I should point out that we're also going to welcome their daughters, Erin and Cameron, into the studio. So we'll have a little bit of Jim and Jill and a little bit of Erin and Cameron Kelly on the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast. So please be sure you're listening for that right here on the radio and online at homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.